consistent with something he has said somewhere else, we have to take a very hard look at what is being said and why. A core teaching of Jesus is love. Jesus even tells us to love our enemy. What is this crazy passage that suddenly tells us to hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters? Obviously, this passage cannot be taken literally, or Jesus is speaking out of both sides of his mouth, so to say. Jesus said he came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Taken literally, hating father and mother is a clear violation of the commandment in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land. The second part of the commandment is a clue. The commandments are part of our living long in the land. So what about living in the forever kingdom of God? You may have noticed in our liturgy the last 2 weeks I've said kingdom instead of kingdom. Kingdom is a word coined by theologian Ada Marie Isazi Diaz. She has popularized the phrase, the kingdom of God, that cleverly avoids the negative feelings that some associate both with the words king and sometimes with family. The phrase is created by dropping the G from kingdom and putting a hyphen where the G was. We now have a phrase that expresses the loving, inclusive nature of God's acceptance of us. We are all adopted by God. Therefore, we are all kin in the kingdom of God. I remind you of this term now because it captures the point that Jesus is making in today's scripture. Our true kin or family stems not from earthly relationships, as important as they are, but from being part of God's family. Our priority and our true future is not based on our traditional concept of family, but our relationship with God our Father and Christ our brother and the whole family of God. This fits with the observation of one commentator that the Semitic expression to hate something actually meant to separate oneself from the object of hate. Therefore, to hate one's father and mother was to separate oneself because you have a new priority. So the traditional expression of marriage was that one separated from father and mother and became united with the new spouse and became a new family. Similarly, Jesus is saying that becoming his disciple, a member of his family, involves separation from former relationships. With this understanding, Jesus' further teaching in this passage makes more sense. Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Our life here on earth is short, but we shall experience a death like Christ's and a resurrection like Christ's. When put this way, worldly priorities become insignificant in the broader scope of our lives as members of Christ's family and God's kingdom. This also puts the statement of Jesus that we must give up our worldly possessions in context. As the saying goes, you cannot take it with you. If what we have, our possessions, are merely a trust, that will pass away with us, we should put a much lower priority on acquisitions than we do on following Jesus. Popular author and rock star preacher Nadia Bolz Weber recently wrote of the grief she feels over the church she founded, the House for All Sinners and Saints, which closed in February of this year. It surprised me that her church, one that had been held out as an example of the new face of the emerging church in the 21st century, had closed. It's yet another reminder that nothing in this life is permanent. Everything we know and love will pass away. Most, if not all of us, have experienced this firsthand. We've lost family members. We've lost parents. We've lost a spouse. We've lost children. In order to be ready for the kingdom, we need to be ready to let go of the things of this world. We need to be ready to let go of family members. We need to be ready to let go of even our lives. That is what Jesus means when he says, "Take up your cross and follow me." It's easy to cling to the things we know and value. It's hard to let go. The last conversation I had with June Clement, our beloved organist of many years, before her doctor's appointment, where she learned she was terminally ill, she told me she was planning to keep playing the organ for the foreseeable future. I told her I was glad because I couldn't imagine replacing her. Today we have a beautiful bouquet of flowers commemorating what she meant to us. Nadia Bolz Weber writes that sometimes she wonders about the grief the disciples felt. I'm sure they couldn't imagine a world without Jesus. But, she writes, with the death of Jesus, it was not over. There was the resurrection and the promise of our resurrection. There were the memories and connections that kept the disciples together and that keep us together. She writes, quote, "The divine insists on getting what we thought was gone and fashioning it into a web of grace that keeps us tethered even when we don't notice." You've probably noticed on the communion table it says, "In remembrance of me," on it. That memory is one of those things that tethers us together. The scripture goes on to talk about building towers and fighting battles. Both involve looking forward. To build a tower, one must draw up plans, consider the materials needed, and estimate the cost of the materials and the labor required. With proper planning, the project is not begun if it cannot be finished. There's a hotel in Shreveport that has been under construction for as long as I can remember. Every time I drive by it, I wonder, what were they thinking when they started this? Did they fail to properly estimate the cost of the job? Did they run into some unforeseen problems? Jesus mentions a similar situation. What if the tower project is started? The foundation is laid, and the builder is unable to finish. All who pass by will ridicule the builder, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Similarly, Jesus speaks of a king who goes to wage war and realizes he's outnumbered. Wouldn't wise planning lead the king to find a way to negotiate a peace treaty? Jesus is telling us to realize the reality of our situation. Our time on earth is finite. Our relationships, our property, and our lives are finite. As disciples of Christ, our first concern and our plans should rely on the hope and assurance that our future is secure in the kingdom with God our Father and Christ our brother. So as we go to the table, we remember what Jesus did for us, and we look forward to a time when we all shall sit down together as family at the table Jesus sets for us in heaven. So with that, we come to the table that the Lord sets for us. This table is not the table of First Presbyterian Church or the Presbyterian Church USA. It is the Lord's table. And all who seek the Lord are welcome here. Let us begin with prayer. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Great is the mystery of faith. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant sealed in my blood." As often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving life, death, and resurrection of Jesus until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is our practice to pass the bread out and everybody holds it, and then we eat it together. And then the same thing with the cup. We pass the cup, we hold the cup, and then we all drink it together. Will the ushers please come forward?